supposed to save the tears for afterwards, but man, that was moving. Julie, your voice and the band, you guys just really brought it. Wow, that was divine, because that song is so personal to me. It means so much. So thank you for opening us up and just starting this with such a wonderful, beautiful message. Whoa. Good morning. My name is Michael Finn. I am a prayer chaplain here, and I am new at helming talks, so I kind of stay in line with the daily word and what that has to say. Today's word is comfort, and my talk is finding comfort in the uncomfortable, and how taking a deep dive in your spiritual faith can lead you out of the shallow waters of preconceived limitations. But before we get on with that, I just want to take a moment with all of you guys to hold space and just pray, send a prayer of love and resiliency and strength and comfort to all the lives, all the mothers, all the brothers, all the fathers, all the sons and daughters who are affected by what's going on over in Ukraine. It's been a very trying week, I'm sure, for many. And we just feel the reverberations of that over here. So let us have the strength in this wonderful space of love to hold the strength, hold the light for those people, our brothers and sisters. We know that love always, always overshadows the forces of evil and the constraints of self-serving nature. So let's just take a moment to honor that and to hold that. And so it is. Well, we don't need to languish in that heavy state. So let's raise the vibration here just a little bit. Let's get the juices flowing. Get that positivity up. Let it flow through us. So I'm going to do an old school call and response. I'm going to take my advice, get out of my comfort zone, and I invite you guys to join me. So get up if you want, stay seated if you like. I'm going to say, one love. And you guys say, U-N-I-T-Y, that's unity. One love, U-N-I-T-Y, that's unity. Let's do it a couple more times. Chip, come on, man. I see you in the back, man. I see you. One love, U-N-I-T-Y, that's unity. One love, U-N-I-T-Y, that's unity. One more time. One love, U-N-I-T-Y, that's unity. Yeah, that's what I like to see here. Growing up in the mean streets of Marble Falls, Texas, I was just, I was enamored with hip-hop and R&B, and that is a shout-out to an oldie but a goodie, a very strong queen, Queen Latifah. So, yeah. She had a song, I think it was a 91, that was Unity, and I riffed on that. Yeah, so that was good. Okay, so here we go. We know that doing things that, we can find comfort in doing things that make us uncomfortable, just like that, and that's what I'm here to talk about today. You know, a lot of times I'm sure we identify, you know, comfort with a state of being that's devoid of discomfort. Well, it's my humble belief that that is a fallacy. Comfort has nothing to do about the external, the things that come into you. Comfort is all about and has everything to do with the internal, your inner state, your connection to the divine. One of my favorite spiritual teachers, Michael Singer, I don't know if you guys have heard of him. He talks a lot. Yeah, amen. He talks a lot about your inner state, and he likens it to a body of water that is hopefully smooth. And if you're a true witness of it, if you're able to sit in that state and just witness the events coming in, we're able to handle it. But a lot of times, you know, a tense interaction, someone being unkind, a perceived unkind gesture, the mind not getting the things it perceives that it wants, you know, those things come in like a rock or a pebble and they land in our body of water and they create these ripples. And a lot of times we can't handle that. We can't sit there and watch it. We've got to, at least I know I do, we jump in and we try to smooth those ripples out. We can't handle. We can't just let the. We can't let it take the ride that it's supposed to. We don't have the trust and faith. So when we jump in to those waters, we just have a tendency to make bigger waves. We try to smooth them out, and we just end up. At least I end up getting all wet, and sometimes drowning. And I like to think that that seed of faith, that connection with the divine, is like a life preserver, a soft life preserver that you can grab onto. And if you're truly able to integrate that, I like to say that the seat of faith is cushioned. It's a soft spot for you to land that's always there for you. Speaking about connections, I was very fortunate over the past weekend, actually not that long ago, to spend a long weekend with a shaman and practice the ancient traditions. And one thing about being with him that really struck me was that in the ancient language, they don't use the word belief. They don't have it. It doesn't seem to make sense to them because belief is this intangible thing, this amorphous idea that you can't really have a true connection with. They say at the end of their prayers, at the end of their ceremonies, at the end of their talks, Aho Mataquias, which means, roughly translated, to all of my relations, past, present, and future. And I thought that was just a fascinating idea because I've struggled with belief, integrating belief into something solid, something tangible. But you don't have to work. I mean, you have to work at relationships, but we all have relationships. It's something we feel. It's something we touch, we can connect with. So there's no existential dilemma over it. It just is. And that is a very comforting thing when we can just integrate that philosophy, that ideology into our lives and have that connection, that relationship. But I know that that's tough to find sometimes. Like I just said, I've struggled with it quite a bit. It's tough to find that true seed of faith to move towards integration, to move towards that relationship, to something concrete. It's easy to want to question everything. We need factual support. We have to see it to believe it. But that's the thinking mind. That's the mind. It judges. It wants needs. It has desires. The thinking mind wants to predict, to run analysis. And a lot of times, you know, that's a dangerous place to be because you have all this analysis and you get stuck in this analysis paralysis. You get caught thinking in this loop. And you can't move forward. You can't integrate. You can't move towards the thing, towards the feeling, towards the energy you need and want. And you know what's uncomfortable? It's not listening to your mind. That's not God. No. God's in here. God's not up here. The heart understands miracles. The mind questions them. The peace that passes all understanding, that's in here. I'd like to share a personal story that my mind didn't understand at the time, but the ultimate outcome has been one of peace and nothing short of a miracle. About 4 years ago, Leah and my beloved corgi, Hank, got diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma. We just took him in for a random checkup, and the veterinarian did his test, felt him up, and he realized that there were these nodes, these lumps in his lymph nodes that he was concerned about. He said, you know, it might could be nothing, but I recommend getting them checked out. So we listened to him. We went and we got tests ran, and it turns out that he did indeed have what was then called stage 4 terminal lymphoma. And when I got the news, my mind didn't understand it at all. My thinking mind was mad. I was reeling from the death of my father from cancer just a few years prior, and I got angry. I was like, why are you doing this? What is the purpose of this? I was livid. I was so caught up in my own hubris, my own story. I cussed God. I was mad. How could you do this to me? But I forgot that there are lessons in all things and that God is all things. Just didn't know it yet. So we took him to the doctor, started what was, I think it was called CHOP chemotherapy. I'm not too sure on the details, but it was 1 week of chemo, 1 week off. We started it. Wanted to help him out, give him life. But the ironic thing was after his treatments, we got home, and I had never seen him more devoid of life ever. The first couple days after his treatment, he would try to find solace in our closet floor underneath our clothes. He didn't really move. He had labored breath. His nose was dry, panting. His hair was not gone, but just wiry and just all splayed out. He looked like a shell of himself. But we thought to ourselves, this is what they recommend. We're going to keep doing it. And lo and behold, I think like 4 or 5 weeks into it, his cancer went into remission, which was a great thing, right? We're happy about that. But about 15 weeks in, his cancer came back. And according to the oncologist, well, that wasn't good. That was a death knell for dogs in this kind of treatment. But he told us, we have this option. We have this really crazy, expensive drip therapy that could extend his life. Because right now, he's got maybe 7, 8 weeks to live. If we do the treatment, he might extend it to maybe 2 or 3 months. I don't know. The fear, the mind talking, told us, we thought maybe we should listen to him and keep the treatment going. But Lee and I took some repose and looked into our hearts and realized that we wanted Hank to have, if he had a short time to live, we wanted him to have the best life he could. So we politely declined and took him home to let him live on a diet of ice cream and steak for the rest of his life. You know, comfort. At that point in time, my wife was very active at this barn here in Wimberley. She had a horse. And she's like, you know what? Dogs love to run. Dogs love to be outside. Let's go let him live his life. So she took him out there, and he proceeded to chase all the farm animals, chase all the gators, the motorized vehicles, not alligators, but actually chase the SUVs and rolling wild animal poop. Hank loved rolling in poop. I don't know. I mean, that brought him joy, so more of it. At that time, she was talking to one of her friends there who had had a horse that had cancerous tumors on her tail. And she mentioned that she had gotten her on this, or the horse on this antioxidant amino acid serum that was called Protocell. Didn't really know what was in it, but she said that it helped shrink the tumors. So Leah came home with that information and told me. And I was like, why not? What do we got to lose? It's $250 a bottle. Let's do it. So we started a regimen of the amino acid therapy in the morning, rolling around in poop in the afternoon. And Hank was great. He was doing good. We got back to our normal lives. A couple weeks passed by, and a month, 2 months. Lee and I looked at each other. And we're like, what? 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. At 6 months, we're like, we need to take this dog back into the oncologist and see what's going on. So we took him back, and they ran all the panels, all the blood work, and I will never forget when the oncologist walked in that door. He was this nice, but this really buttoned-up, stuffy, cerebral guy, and he walks in and looks at us, and he's like, I'll be damned. This dog does not have cancer. That was 4 years ago to this day. Hank celebrated his 11th birthday last week. Yeah. You know, that, I want to preface this. This is not a testimony to forego medical treatment or advice in those situations, but it was just a testament to, if you let go of preconceived ideas and just listen to your heart, that miracles can transpire by letting go of the outcome and putting love into the moment that you are in now. You know, it was uncomfortable to see him like that, but the ultimate purpose, God being in all things, came to transpire. It's reasonable to think that comfort can be found through trust, complete trust. The giving over of your entire being. because lack of trust breeds lack of confidence in God and ultimately in oneself. For if you act as if you're deficient, deficient you shall be. But if you act as if you're a whole, whole and perfect and possessing everything you need inside of yourself right now, in this moment, then that shall be your truth. Because the future doesn't exist yet. You know, we are creators of our future. We are creators of our reality. And that's one of the tenets of unity, right? And so it is. Let's manifest what we want. Find comfort in your strength. Find comfort in letting go. Not clinging. Not clinging to your story. You can't shake hands. You can't embrace with a clenched fist. Going back to my spiritual journey with the shaman, he talked about your relationship to yourself as being a hollow bone. I'd heard that statement before, but it really resonated and sunk in. If you think about it, you know, if we cling to these stories, these ideals, we can't be the conduit to God that we're supposed to be. We get blocked up, and things can't flow through us how they should. You know, we have emotions, but emotions don't have us. If we allow ourselves to be this hollow bone, to let things go through us, we'll be able to take the ride. You know, we'll be able to take that energetic ride, because if you get locked in on this tumultuous, sad idea, these sad energies, then that ride will be rather bumpy. That ride will be rather uncomfortable. But if you can find that energetic joy and take that ride, then it'll be beautiful. But I mean, that's hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to do to let go of your stories, to let go of these things that we hold on to. For a long time, I was clinging to my story, clinging to a story of self-imposed limitation. The story in Hank's case that any news, any perceived bad news is catastrophic news, losing all hope in the moment, not realizing that it's always there. God's always there. Fear and expecting the worst can become a belief system. And when you clench up, when you refuse a feeling, when you refuse a situation, when you constrict, it's hard to feel the presence of God and let it flow through you. For the longest time after my firstborn son, Ford, was born, and subsequently my second son, Indiana, I was uncomfortable. I lived in a state of discomfort, self-imposed, but yet real nonetheless. I was uncomfortable because I lived in such a heavy, heavy state all the time. My dad had just died. My acting career, which I clung to like a kryptonite charm, was pretty much over. And I say kryptonite because it was my weakness, and it was making me sick because, you know, it started out as a whimsical, fun adventure turned into this pretty selfish endeavor. I was banging on walls, hoping to make a door, and not realizing that I had all these beautiful windows open, available to me, but I just couldn't see it. I say kryptonite because kryptonite is green, and that's also the color of envy. As fate would have it, my career was ending, but my beautiful wife's career was taken off. She had stepped into the light, the spotlight, so to speak. She had the amazing fortune to be cast on a nationally televised, nationally syndicated talk show. And while I was no doubt happy for her and cared for her and was enthusiastic for her, it was marred. It was marred by my own insecurities, my own limitations that I just couldn't fully give over to the fact. You know, here I was, blessed beyond belief, just blessings on top of blessings on top of blessings, married to an amazing woman who had just given birth to a healthy, beautiful son. I was privileged to be in the position to take over my father's business after he passed away, a business he lovingly built, but all I saw was not my career, not ready to be a father, not the business I built, so I don't deserve any of this. I cut myself off to the blessings. I was so wrapped up in my story, wrapped up in my crown of limitations that I wore proudly on my head. You know, I remember a few weeks before Leah gave birth, You know, this is painful to say, but I was on the phone with my therapist. A lot of therapy time back then. And I said to her, I'm afraid my son will think I'm a loser because I failed at my acting career. I failed at it. And she stopped. And she said, oh, no, Michael. Children don't think like that. That doesn't matter. All that matters is the love that you show them. And I realized I wasn't showing any love or any grace to myself. It took me almost up to this point to realize that, to fully understand that. It's quite a popular phrase that only the childlike will enter the kingdom of heaven. But I'd like to take that a step further. When we were born, beloved, we existed outside of our thinking mind. We had no say in the matter, and yet there we were, perfect, existing, being. We didn't overthink. We did not worry. We were the most vulnerable we've ever been, unable to take care of ourselves, but we did not fret. We did not know how. We had to learn how. We had to learn. But look at us. Here we are now. We made it, right? We made it. We are here. Enveloped in this love, in this building, with each other, and with God. I invite you to have the courage to go back to that time, to unlearn limitation, a time that wasn't marred by loss, cynicism, and doubt. Energy cannot be destroyed, and it can be created and accessed by choice. There is no reason why we can't walk around in this unabashed, limitless joy, this creative curiosity like a child and with optimism and whimsy. Because when we get to it, life is wonder. At the heart of it, life is wondrous and magical. The misconception about comfort is that it's an absence of comfort. It's an absence of comfort. True comfort is found in the ability to sit in the pain, the unknowing, the uncertainty, and be okay with it. You know, Hank didn't know he was sick. He just knew he was a dog. And dogs love to run free. And in his case, roll in a lot of wild animal poop. I invite you to run and dance to the rhythm of your heart and roll yourself up in something you love deeply, whatever it is, without judgment, like Hank. I'm going to take that sentiment a step further. I really love Eckhart Tolle, and he's got a great quote from his book, The Power of Now. Don't look for peace. Don't look for any other state than the one you are in now. Otherwise, you will set up inner conflict and unconscious resistance. Forgive yourself for not being at peace. The moment you completely accept your non-peace becomes transmuted into peace. Anything you accept fully will get you there. It will take you into this peace. This is the miracle of surrender. Another quote. Comfort is when you realize there is no separateness. Between you and a child, between you and your fellow men and women, between God. The air you exhale is the same as the wind that dances through the canyons. The lifting of an eyelid is the same as the sun shining down on a dew-laden meadow. The opening of your heart is the same as light piercing through the darkness of a newborn galaxy. It's all divine oneness, and it never ends. That one was me, Michael Finn original. You know, the shaman, again, going back, it was such a transformative, amazing weekend. The shaman I was with reminded us that, you know, we're already spiritual. I know I do. I get caught up in this convolution of, I need to work on my spirituality. I need to be spiritual. I need to tap into that. And that's all well and good, but we forget that we were born a spirit. We came down from the cosmos as spirit. And here we are on this plane. I think the thing we really need to work on, as evidenced by, you know, what's going on right now in the world, is our humanness. We struggle with being human. The journey we're on, how we interact with ourselves, and how we interact with others. So yes, work on this divine integration, but let's not sell ourselves short. Let's give ourselves some grace around that. I just thought that was such a wonderful takeaway that I don't really think about. I just always think, hey, work on the spirituality. You know, recognize the God in someone else, in everyone you meet. Recognize the struggle in someone else's journey. It'll take the pressure off you knowing you're not alone. I know I created so many glass cages and barriers for myself because I tend to have this hubris that, oh, my journey is so special. My pain is so special. No one will understand. That's not true. Once you can remove those barriers, you open your heart and you open your soul and your being to receive the lessons and the knowledge other people might have that you don't have. You know, recognize the joy you see in someone else's actions because it's contagious. And those germs of joy, man, those are the germs you want. Yeah. Thomas Merton beautifully said, I suddenly saw the secret beauty of their hearts, the core of their reality, the person who each one is in the eyes of the divine. If we could only see each other that way all the time, there would be no more war, amen to that, no more cruelty, no more greed. I suppose the big problem is that we'd fall down all over each other and worship each other all the time. I know that doesn't sound too bad to me. Sounds pretty comfortable. A good place to start is recognizing the divine in yourself and your relationship to it. And I think that the goal is not to forget the pain we experience and encounter on this journey, but to remember it from a place of divine objectivity, without shame or guilt or fear, and learn what you need to learn from it so that it may be transmuted into knowledge and propel your ascension instead of holding you back. I don't even think the goal is to pine, yearn, or pray for comfort. Comfort's not a static thing. It's a result of action, of growth. This human experience isn't linear. It's not a straight line. It's circular. It moves on and on and on. You know, and things might come back. Things you think you've gotten over might come back up. And, you know, welcome them. Embrace them with a loving kindness. Ask with a childlike curiosity, what are you here for? You know? What are you trying to teach me? And listen. Be like, oh, okay, I should dance with that fear instead of run from it. Or wait, I should embrace that insecurity instead of beating it to a pulp. And I should smile and laugh because something happened, and not cry because it's over. When you approach life this way, with this light hand and this light heart, you no longer have to seek comfort. You just naturally fall into it. Closing on these sentiments, Austrian poet Rainer Maria Rilke reminds us of this wonderful mystery. I circle around God, the ancient tower, and I've been circling for 1,000 years, and I still do not know. Am I a falcon, a storm, or a continuing great song? I live myself in widening circles, and I drift out over the things. I may not achieve the very last, but it will be my aim. I believe if we set our intention, our aim to love unconditionally, it won't matter the target. Our arrow will fly straight. Let's take these sentiments, close our eyes. Just let everything settle in. Take some breaths, beloved. Know that you are cradled in the deepest comfort you'll ever know. Know that you have access to the divine as long as we just get out of our own way. If we're able to put down the busyness of the day, if we're able to remember who we truly are, if we're able to open ourselves up like that hollow bone, to receive what we're meant to receive. Know that there is nothing you can't do to not feel that light, to feel that vibration. It's your divine birthright. Let's unlearn these stories of the past, the stories we tell ourselves, this conditioning, and realize that at the heart of it, that doesn't matter. What matters is the here and now, our willingness to accept, our willingness to give, and our willingness to just be. We get so caught up, we forget that we're human beings, not human doings. Allow us the peace. Allow us the grace to witness the beauty that is in us and around us every second of every day. We don't need the answers. Let's find that remote inside of us and turn the noise in our mind down and just accept the sunlight on our face, the wind in our hair, and the love and energy in our hearts. I am grateful for all of you here today. Your being here, your love, your willingness, that comforts me in ways you never know. Allow yourself to feel that comfort. Allow yourselves to be. And so it is.